indeed his first ever swing of a bat. The vet glanced towards the lieutenant and nodded to signal that the man was, without a doubt, dead. Having completed his task, he was beginning slowly to rise to his full height, when it seemed to him that the sun shining on his back increased in intensity all of a sudden. At that very moment, the young Chinese batter in uniform number 4 rose up into a sitting position as if he had just woken up, without the slightest uncertainty or hesitation, or so it seemed to those watching, he grabbed the doctor's wrist. It all happened in a split second. The vet could not understand. This man was dead, he was sure of it. But now, thanks to one last drop of life that seemed to well up from nowhere, the man was gripping the doctor's wrist with the strength of a steel vise. Eyelids stretched open to the limit, pupils still glaring upward, the man fell forward into the hole, dragging the doctor in after him. The doctor fell in on top of him and heard one of the man's ribs crack as his weight came down. Still, the Chinese ball player continued to grip his wrist. The soldiers saw all this happening, but they were too stunned to do anything more than stand and watch. The lieutenant recovered first and leaped into the hole. He drew his pistol from his holster, placed the muzzle against the Chinese man's head, and pulled the trigger twice. Two sharp cracks rang out, and a large black hole opened in the man's temple. Now, his life was completely gone. But still he refused to release the doctor's wrist. The lieutenant knelt down and, pistol in one hand, began the painstaking process of prying open the corpse's fingers one at a time. The vet lay there in the hole, surrounded by 8 silent Chinese corpses in baseball uniforms. Down in the hole, the screeching of cicadas sounded very different from the way it sounded above ground. Once the vet had been freed from the dead man's grasp, the soldiers pulled him and the lieutenant out of the grave. The vet squatted down on the grass and took several deep breaths. Then he looked at his wrist. The man's fingers had left 5 bright red marks. On this hot August afternoon, the vet felt chilled to the core of his body. "I'll never get rid of this coldness," he thought. That man was truly, seriously determined to take me with him wherever he was going. The lieutenant reset the pistol safety and slipped the gun into its holster. This was the first time he had ever fired a gun at a human being, but he tried not to think about it. The war would continue for a little while at least, and people would continue to die. He could leave the deep thinking for later. He wiped his sweaty right palm on his trousers, then ordered the soldiers who had not participated in the execution to fill in the hole. A huge swarm of flies had already taken custody of the pile of corpses. The young soldier went on standing where he was, stupefied, gripping the bat. He couldn't seem to make his hands let go. The lieutenant and the corporal left him alone. He had seemed to be watching the whole bizarre series of events. The dead Chinese man grabbing the vet by the wrist, their falling into the grave, the lieutenant's leaping in and finishing him off, and now the other soldiers filling in the hole. But in fact, he had not been watching any of it. He had been listening to the wind-up bird. As it had been the previous afternoon, the bird was in a tree somewhere, making that creak, creak sound as if winding a spring. The soldier looked up, trying to pinpoint the direction of the cries, but he could see no sign of the bird. He felt a slight sense of nausea at the back of his throat, though nothing as violent as yesterday's. As he listened to the winding of the spring, the young soldier saw one fragmentary image after another rise up before him and fade away. After they were disarmed by the Soviets, the young paymaster lieutenant would be handed over to the Chinese and hanged for his part in these executions. The corporal would die of the plague in Siberian concentration camp. He would be thrown into a quarantine shed and left there until dead, though in fact he had merely collapsed from malnutrition and had not contracted the plague, not at least until he was thrown into the shed. The vet with the mark on his face would die in an accident a year later. A civilian, he would be taken by the Soviets for cooperating with the military and sent to another Siberian camp to do hard labor. He would be working in a deep shaft in a Siberian coal mine when a flood would drown him, along with many soldiers. And I?